Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. I am Seth Merrow. As always, thanks for joining us. A Sunday means a little review of some of the stakes action from yesterday. We'll do a little handicapping a little bit later on, some news and notes. Last night, Hong Kong International races. Toss out some of the winners there as well a little bit later on and hit on some of the news of the past few days. But as always, a little bit of stakes recap action to kick us off. Don't forget, this afternoon, things kick off noontime. We'll have some Saratoga Harness here this afternoon. And I think first up is going to be on the thoroughbred, Gulfstream 1210, Aqueduct 1220. A little bit later on, some Oaklawn in the mix for us this afternoon. So should be a fun afternoon here. Oaklawn, again, kicked off on Friday, one of my favorite meets. Happy to have Nancy Holthus in with us yesterday to kind of kick off the meet a little bit, give some ideas on the two stakes races yesterday. Go back to the replay of their stakes race on Friday as well. Fun to see some two-year-old racing at Oaklawn with the December start, which is now in year two of that early start down in Arkansas. Also yesterday we were visited by Ren Carruthers from Tampa, and they had a kind of a fun card yesterday too with a couple of Florida Sire Stakes that we will hit on in recap as well. We'll start things out in New York. And winner in the Garland of Roses is kind of a fun story as well. Garland of Roses yesterday, it was the fillies and mares for $120,000 going six furlongs. And coming from the back of the pack, Betsy Blue, the number one, gets it done under Begin. The favorite was Smash Ticket, and I went that way. I went with Smash Ticket over Betsy Blue. But Betsy Blue, a little bit of a horse for a course, I suppose, coming into yesterday with six wins and 10 starts at Aqueduct. Betsy Blue, again, getting it done. Jose Lescano on board, coming from the back of the pack as the second choice, paid $6.60. And did it in fine fashion. The chart margin wound up to be a length and a quarter, and we will see that shortly, I'm sure. Garland of Roses from yesterday at Aqueduct. And again, as I said, a nice story there as well in that Betsy Blue was claimed early in the career by Linda Rice and Company for $50,000. Since the claim, $500,000 plus in the bank for Betsy Blue. So, and I heard Linda's interview yesterday after the race. I guess early on, the horse had been claimed just prior to their getting it, and they had put in but lost the shake, and then they went back and tried again and got it done. Nice gets up here, and as they say, draws off. You can see Lescano kind of easing up there for the length and a quarter win at $6.60. And again, Linda Rice and Company with a very nice hard trier. Also notable with Betsy Blue, comes back on a week's rest. She had gone in the Gopher Wand last weekend, finished third behind Dr. B and Bank Sting. Linda, subsequent to the race, said, you know what, she's doing well. Linda is not averse to coming back if the horse is ready. She said, you know, we had to see if the horse would be ready. I guess they were looking at a stake maybe down in Laurel a little further along, but they thought, you know, that may be tougher company. We can go here. Subsequently decided, you know, the horse is doing okay. We can come back quickly. And they may go down, I saw Linda say, a stake at Laurel in February might be next at this point. But Betsy Blue, again, always fun to see a clever claim. And Betsy Blue seems to have been a clever claim. For Linda Rice, who I pulled up the stats yesterday. Dave Grenick has been tweeting out this week how hot she's been and mentioned it in his follow-up article on this race yesterday. But I went and pulled up her stats. If you go back the last six races, going back just the last couple of days, really, going back to Friday, The last six races, I mean, she had a couple others on Friday that were out of the money. So you toss in the Friday races through yesterday. There were eight starts, four wins, 4 for 8 over just the last couple of days. But you go back a little further than that, go back to Thursday. Thursday there was another six starts with 3 wins. But I went back to, there was a start at the Finger Lakes on November 23rd. So we're essentially talking a couple of weeks, 3 weeks tops here. So going back to November 23rd, over the last 25 starts, Linda Rice is 9 wins, 8 seconds, 5 thirds. So 17 exacta finishes in 25 starts, 22 in the money of 25. Just a phenomenal performance here for Linda Rice over the past, as I say, about 3 weeks or so. And she has a number of them in today as well. We'll see if she can keep that roll going. But it was added to by the nice performance from Betsy Blue yesterday in the Garland of Roses with a nice come-from-behind ride there. Jose Lascano on board. And as I say, as he went by, he had the momentum. It's 3 strides from the wire. He knew he had it set, and he kind of stood up in the saddle, eased up a little bit. So Betsy Blue, again, kind of always fun, as I say, those claims that turn out to be talented and moving up and vying in stakes company. So Betsy Blue yesterday in the Garland of Roses. A couple of stakes at Oaklawn. Again, we talked about these stakes yesterday with Nancy Holthus. In the Mistletoe yesterday, when we talked to Nancy, I said I liked Will's Secret coming out of a win at Churchill and had shown some real talent early in the career for Wayne Lucas. I will note, Wayne Lucas, I think it was just yesterday, was hurt, I believe, got bucked off of his horse. He's still getting on the horse, but he got bucked off and bruised or fractured some ribs, which a painful situation there. But he was interviewed in the, I think I read the follow-up in the racing form. He's making jokes about it, like, yeah, it didn't last that, like a bucking bronco competition. He said it didn't last the full time and didn't get a good points from the judges. So it was good to see he was at least in good spirits afterwards. But I liked Will's Secret in the Mistletoe yesterday at Oaklawn. The favorite was La Vida, a horse that had come up from South America. And you can see here the number 3, Lovely Ride, is getting it done. The number 1, Coach, runs second. And number 4, Will's Secret, runs third. La Vida, the South American Invader, wound up fourth. And that was the horse that took the action, La Vida. Had arrived from South America and was 2 for 2 since arriving in North America. And so the betting public went in that direction. I put her on just underneath Will's Secret. I had Lovely Ride and Coach in the mix. Lovely Ride was down in the 4th spot for me. But Lovely Ride had tried a stake up at Woodbine in the previous start. That was in August. Didn't run too well on the synthetic there. Been off since that start. Comes back for Robertino Diodoro here and gets it done. 8-1 on the morning line. Went off at 9-2, $11.40, and does it pretty easily under Christian Torres. And again, Coach second, Will's Secret third. But it was a pretty easy victory for Lovely Ride. A career victory number 6 and start number 14. So still a relatively lightly raced 4-year-old filly. We'll see what is next on the agenda there, based down in Oaklawn, and came into this, in fact, with a bullet work. And the bullet work may have tipped your hand if you tilted in that direction. You know, I had no arguments against, as I say, I had it just down in the mix a little bit. But off the layoff and the performance up at Woodbine, I wasn't quite sure what to make of it. But as I say, if you were handicapping and you look down at that bullet workout, that might have given you an idea they were tipping their hand a little bit. So does get it done there. In, again, the Mistletoe at Oaklawn, Lovely Ride. A little bit earlier on the card yesterday down at Oaklawn, it was the Ring the Bell There were a couple of stakes over the past couple of days where I was willing to take some shots against horses coming out of disappointing performances in the Breeders' Cup. Tyler's Tribe, I took a little shot against that one. Made the right move. Willie Boy at Tampa yesterday. We'll see that one. A horse that I didn't have up in my mix, and I can't really say I was taking a shot against because of that, was Flash of Mischief, who was coming out of a real dud in the Breeders' Cup sprint in the previous start. But two starts back at Remington in a stakes race, had won with a 104 buyer. The betting public was a little more geared to that thinking than I was. And so Flash of Mischief did go off as the 3-2 favorite yesterday. I liked One for Richie. One for Richie's the number five horse. Disappoints as the second choice, running last in the field of seven. Maybe didn't like the off going. But Flash of Mischief, again, coming out of a ninth place finish in the Breeders' Cup sprint, gets it done pretty easily. Just kind of outclasses him and kind of gets back to that race two back, the 104 buyer in the stake at Remington. Wins the chart margin here is 7 3/4. Kavad, who was logical, runs second. Chatelot, another logical player, runs third in here. So it wasn't really a surprise other than the poor performance from One for Richie, who was the second choice at 5-2. Again, that one runs last, but then the next two choices on as far as the betting public were second and third in here. So, you know, you wound up with an $18 exacta. You wound up with $100 triple wasn't bad, I suppose, for a couple bucks for, again, three logical players in here. Kristen Torres, again, on board. So he sweeps the stakes action yesterday down at Oaklawn with the Ring the Bell and the Mistletoe. And it was interesting, Nancy talking about the kind of fairly new tradition down there with the bell in the winner's circle. And if the connections go over and ring the bell, a donation goes to the Arkansas Thoroughbred Retirement System. So, again, that's a great idea. And with the name, the race named after it, giving it a little publicity as well. All right, let's move down to the aforementioned Tampa and talking with Ren yesterday, Ren Carruthers from Tampa. You see her, you know, doing the pregame and the paddock commentary. We were saying it may wind up to be a logical day at Tampa, and we agreed, in fact, in the City of Ocala Stakes, our Adios jersey looked likely. Went out for Rich Averill and Averill Racing. And again, if you're not familiar, Rich, you know, Averill Racing, you know, fairly prominent owners. And Rich is based down a little south of Tampa. And so his horses race all over the place. But you would have to think home base, home track is Tampa. They tend to do well there. Gerald Bennett training, Gallardo on board. Hadn't been seen since May. That was the question mark. The workouts weren't necessarily tipping their hand, but this is a horse that was 2-for-2 at Tampa, including a win in this stake last year. So our Adios Charlie Logical is the 4-5 favorite and lives up to that here, winning the number five horse. Again, hadn't been seen since May. Horse coming up the rail, rest of the story, I had right underneath in the second spot, and for a second looked like might go through, and you wonder if the horse just was reluctant to go through the spot. Sometimes they're on the rail. It's tough to get them motivated to keep going up inside. And I think it was a combination of that and just a little too much class from our Adios jersey. Rest of the story, second. Sassy Beast runs third in there. So, again, it played out kind of logically with the 4-5 favorite over the 7-2. Third choice, there was a horse, Don't Get Cozy, who was the second choice at 3-1. That one ran fourth in the field of six. But our Adios jersey, again, as a four-year-old with that being the ninth start, fairly lightly raced. Six wins now in nine career starts. Rich Averill in the follow-up article in the Racing Forum was quoted as expecting a really nice, fun five-year-old season. They would think this will set her up for that. And given what we've seen so far, again, six wins now and nine starts. I say fairly lightly raced. And part of that was because last year, as I say, hadn't been seen since May, came down with a little issue, an illness, and that put the horse on the sidelines for a while. But again, given what we've seen so far and the nice comeback yesterday, Rich Averill expecting some nice things from our Adios jersey in 2023. And I think, you know, expecting that and deservedly so, given what we've seen so far and what we saw yesterday. A little bit later in the day, Willie Boy, again, was the horse to beat, obviously, in the Marion County. And again, these were two Florida Sire Series stakes races. Willie Boy, earlier this year, won the Smile Sprint on that Summit of Speed card down at Gulfstream in the summer. Came up to Saratoga and ran third in the Vanderbilt, but ran third too. Jackie's Warrior, so, you know, nice performance there. But then went to the Breeders' Cup and had some trouble, wasn't ready for the start, and so wound up running 10th there. But again, seemed to be the class of the field, logical as the favorite, even money on the morning line, went off at 1-2. I took a shot against, though, and as I said, there were Breeders' Cup horses going back to Tyler's Tribe and this horse where I thought, you know, if you're going to go against, maybe these were the days. Willie Boy is the number six horse and has the lead here, but gets run down. I like the number eight, Noble Drama. That one gets up for fourth. I had the right idea, just had the wrong horse, as Octane refuses to be run down. Octane, the number one. Willie Boy, number six, runs second. Gatsby, another horse that looked logical as a contender, ran third in here. But Octane, you know, as I say, I was taking a little bit of a shot against Willie Boy with Noble Drama, who's coming out of a nice optional claiming win over at Gulfstream that I thought might have this horse set up nicely for a late run that would upset the apple cart. But instead, it was a horse on the front end who got it done coming out of an optional claiming performance over at Gulfstream. So as I said, I had the right idea, I had the wrong horse. Hopefully, if you were taking a shot against, you had the right horse, because Octane, again, looked pretty good on the front end most of the way around. Winning chart margin is half a length, but you wound up getting $12 and change there. So a nice little price on the upset. Willie Boy, again, second, had every chance to kind of go by and just couldn't catch the front runner late. You know, the fractions were legit, but weren't crazy. 22, 46, 110, and change for all those, and then 123 at the end. So nice performance from Octane, and again, Gallardo on board to pull a little upset over Willie Boy, following up, again, kind of a disappointment in the Breeders' Cup as well. And finally, let's go out to Southern California, because there was a Grade One yesterday out at Los Alamitos. Coming into the race with five straight wins in this Grade One starlet, Bob Baffert. And Baffert had two in yesterday in the starlet. He had Doing It the Hard Way and Faza, or Faza. Faza went off as the 1-2 favorite and gives Bob Baffert six consecutive wins in the Grade One starlet. Faza, the number three horse here, Flavien Prat on board. Flavien, you know, this stretch duel afterwards, Flavien said, you know, I was a little bit concerned, but it did seem like my horse didn't want to let the other one get by. And that is the case here. This is some stretch duel. Fazia wins Pride of the Nile, 12-1, as the second longest price on the board. Second, Uncontrollable runs third. But a very, very nice performance for a second-time starter. They paid $725,000 at the FASIC two-year-old sale in May. And that confidence has now been validated with the horse going 2-for-2. Maybe more interesting, Faza, a daughter of Gervin. So continues to kind of validate Gervin as a very interesting sire of at least young horses. Has had a nice career this year with the two-year-olds hitting the racetrack. Gervin has been a horse to watch. And Visa continued that trend yesterday in nice fashion. And again, ding-dong battle there. The chart margin did wind up to be ahead, $3 even the price. Flavien Prat and Bob Baffert getting it done. And again, Baffert in getting his sixth straight grade one starlet. 2-year-old action yesterday at Los Alamitos, as there is this short Los Alamitos thoroughbred meet, which kind of bridges the gap between Del Mar Fall and Santa Anita the day after Christmas. And I know our friend Steve Bick has been out at Los Al the past few days, and kind of interesting because he was talking the other day, and when you look and pull up results or entries, you see it. They're doing the thoroughbreds in the afternoon, and they're doing the quarter horses at night. And last night they had a rich quarter horse, $750,000, I think, on the quarter horse scene. So it was a big day at Los Al. You can do the double header at Los Al with it. I mean, up here when I was a kid, that's still occasionally. I say when I was a kid, but when I was a kid, it was more of a thing, I guess. But still, summertime, you do a little thoroughbred at Saratoga and then cross the street for the doubleheader and watch some harness. But out at Los Al, you can do the doubleheader. You just kind of hang out, go thoroughbreds to quarter horses. All right, we are going to take a break. And as noted at the top, we'll come back and we'll do a little handicapping for this afternoon, give you some ideas, some things to look at perhaps a little bit later on. I, of course, will be back in later for live looks all afternoon with OTB Live, which should kick off around noontime, maybe a little bit earlier than noon. It'll kind of depend on when the NIRA pregame show ends. But with Sarah, I'm going to look at some Saratoga harness, so that kicks off at noon. So we'll be back at, you know, in the noontime-ish period for OTB Live for this afternoon. But before that, we'll take a break and come back and give some ideas for this afternoon as Racing Across America continues on this Sunday morning. A little bit later, some news and notes as well. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. Seth Merrill in the studio. Take a look at the late pick five at Aqueduct. Again, not putting a ticket together. I just checked some of the usual sources, including obviously the NIRA website, but sometimes on Twitter they'll come out a little earlier, but no scratches yet. So I'm not putting an actual ticket together or anything, but just some ideas for a little bit later on the pick five at Aqueduct today. The opener there will be race number five this afternoon. There is, I believe, a pick six carryover today at Aqueduct, $38,000. $38,000 in the pick six carryover today at Aqueduct. So if that sounds intriguing to you, jump in. That'll be race number four today. But I'll look at that late pick five sequence. Starting with race number five, state bred optional claimers, non-winners two other than the condition, 6.5 to trip. 2, 6, 8, and 3 for me. Captain's Daughter, 6-1 on the morning line. And I'm going to take a little shot that turf race last time is one we can draw a line through. Because if you get back to the most recent dirt races, I think they stack up pretty nicely with this group. And if we do manage to get the 6-1, if that last race darkens the form a little bit, I think this could be a legitimate, interesting player in here at a decent little price. But I'm kind of curious to see where the odds will shake out on Captain's Daughter. Cali Magic, like the top pick, comes in off a little bit of a dud last time. Top pick maybe has an excuse on the turf. This one, not so much. Other than there is a trouble line with some trouble. And so, again, there's an excuse. There's a definite, you know, you can point to the turf as maybe being a surface. The trouble is more the situation with Cali Magic. So it's a situation where both of them, I think, you can draw a line through and go back to prior races. And the absolute prior race going back to for Cali Magic is clearly good enough. Nice workout coming into this as well. This one, I think, will live up to the morning line favoritism and probably go a little bit shorter. Happy Sophia in the third spot for me, as opposed to the top two coming off disappointing efforts. This one comes off a win last time. And again, they get in good form. Sometimes they can string some together. I just think class-wise, this horse may be in a little tougher spot this afternoon. Rebo's Valentine going out for our friends at Blue Streak Racing. So, again, some local connections there. Always like to root for the local connections. And this one is also coming off a nice win in a series of improving performances. So I wouldn't be surprised if number three gets it done. And I will mention Valleluia East Avenue Racing Group. They are also a locally connected group of owners. And they were very happy going back to August 13th. With a nice win at 24-1 for a group. If I'm getting the story right, they were folks who sat out on East Avenue when the track was closed for the pandemic and kind of rooted for racing from outside the fence, subsequently became friends and bought into the horse, Valleluia. And again, just a fun story to then wind up in the winner's circle at Saratoga. But more interestingly, with Robbie Davis training and that day Jackie Davis on board. So it's certainly a fun group in the winner's circle, again, going back to August 13th. Since then, three off-the-board finishes, but we'll see. Just, again, tossing out a little Valleluia as a salute to the local ownership group in the fifth today at Aqueduct. Sixth race this afternoon at Aqueduct. State Bred Maiden Claimers going 3/4 of a mile, 4, 7, 8, and 10 for me. I'll put Fire King on top. The class relief kind of jumps out. Now, the first two starts of the career were on the turf. They were okay, you know, relatively speaking. Then went up to the Finger Lakes and tried the dirt. Ran sixth, but showed a little bit of ability. That was against open maiden special runners. Now comes back to New York. Dirt, blinkers off, first time gelding. Moves into a new barn. Trainer can do pretty well with new acquisitions, although this one moves away, and it's not a claim, moves away from Christophe Clement. We'll see, but I thought there was enough there to tilt slightly in that direction. Second spot, Disarm. This one does go up for Christophe Clement, like the top pick, started the career on turf and then had a dirt try that wasn't spectacular, but it was okay. And again, relatively speaking, maybe good enough to mix it up in here, particularly with that maiden special weight to maiden claiming move. And then Max Foster, series of nice improving buyer numbers, excuse me, against maiden specials might bode well for the class move today and a continued move forward. That would certainly put the horse right in the thick of things. Want to also always like to tout the local owners and Celtic Magic Thoroughbreds. As Saratoga strong in here, I was talking to the Celtic Magic principal at the event the other night. I went to the holiday party for the America's Pastime stable folks at Augie's, and I was talking about Saratoga Strong and anticipating the first start and talking with the connections of this one. I would say, like a lot of first-time owners, the first-time starters, hoping for the best, but not quite sure what to expect today. But again, certainly we are rooting for Saratoga Strong to get it done. Celtic Magic and my friend Dana, we'll see what they do today in the sixth. Seventh race, again, top of the page I have written wide open, and this is one of those races where you can point to my four and juggle them up and have the same level of confidence, and you could probably pull in another couple of horses the same way. But I wound up 7-1-3-9. I'm going to take a little shot with Famished coming up for Horacio De Paz from Laurel most recently. He's been training in New York recently, but was down at Laurel and training at Laurel, and then had a couple of starts in October and November. The November start was not much, but was in a little stakes race going back to October. Ran fourth, and it was an okay fourth. Now, as I say, he's come up to New York, been training up here, and faces company in this starter allowance that I think the horse is going to be okay with. And again, that last race is disappointing. May darken the form enough that that 10-1 morning line, if it doesn't hold up, at least we're in the neighborhood. And at that price, I think this horse is absolutely eligible to be a player with this bunch this afternoon. Outlier in the second spot. On occasion, has a little bit of early speed. We'll see what happens today. Leaving from the one post position, you would have to think that'll be in the mix. You got to like last time they tried the Cigar Mile. And the horse in the Cigar Mile set the pace early before winding up fifth in the field of six behind Mind Control. Again, because this one coming out of the Cigar Mile, that is a quick turnaround. We shall see. Now we'll see if the horse goes today or not. This is one that maybe winds up getting scratched because of the quick turnaround. But I always think that shows some nice confidence when they come back like this. And we saw what happened yesterday with Betsy Blue. Locally owned Flying P and Tom Morley. Claim two back, went into a similar race last time and didn't fare that well, but did have some trouble. Horse is better than what we saw last time. And again, these are kind of clever connections, so won't be surprised if we get a good performance from locally owned at, again, a decent morning line price as well. So in a tough seventh race at Aqueduct, for me, 7-1-3-9. Race number eight this afternoon at the Big A. State bred allowance runners going six. I have it 5-4-1-3. I'm going to put today's flavor on top. It's Renham Racing, and you know, you look down and you see all was previously trained by Doug O'Neill. Now is going for George Weaver. But as you would expect, you go down the page a little more, and with Renham Racing, this horse started a career out in Southern California. Last year, 2021, started Santa Anita, a couple of starts at Del Mar, and then laid off quite a while. And came back in September this year at Aqueduct and tossed in a clunker at just over even money. And given what we saw in the first starts of the career, probably deserved to be even money, but sitting off the better part of a year, 10 months, you had to wonder what you were going to get. And subsequently, you got a poor performance with an excuse, got a poor start. And so everybody kind of, you know, looked and gave that as a legitimate excuse, drew a line through the race. The horse came back in November, you know, a couple of months on the sidelines, and the betting public again made this horse just over the even money favorite and lived up to it. So again, this is a New York bred for Paul Renham. Paul Renham horses out in Southern California, but off that long layoff, I think they were probably looking and seeing the purse money in New York and saying, let's go face some state breds and see if we can make some money. Had trouble in that first New York start, validated the move last time, and I think probably is going to be well-suited today at this non-winners of one level against the New York breds. The Institute in the second spot comes down from Finger Lakes and moves into the barn of Linda Rice, who, again, as I noted earlier, is just rolling on a little bit of a hot streak, as is the Institute. Comes in off a couple of wins up at the Finger Lakes. Does have some tries on the New York circuit on the page. You go down to the bottom of the page, there's an okay try at Saratoga. The other three on the New York circuit aren't so good. So we'll we'll see. Just in the current form and with Linda Rice in charge at this point. And I say that, I mean, the last race was November 23rd, so not sure how long Linda Rice has really been working with this one. But the horse is in good form. Kendra Carmouche on board. Institute seems like a logical player. And then Zircon in the third spot. Fairly lightly raced, seven starts, but five wins. Five wins and seven starts. Again, all up at the Finger Lakes. I've been saying this now for, you know, a week or two as we've been seeing these type of horses with the end of the Finger Lakes meet. I have always liked, as a venue class move, Naira to Finger Lakes. That, to me, is always very potent. So it's a little bit of a negative going the other way, except this time of year with the end of the Finger Lakes meet and some of the powerhouse connections and horses leaving town and things maybe class-wise a little bit lesser during these winter months. These Finger Lakes horses can and often do perform decently on the move down to New York. So for me, in the eighth day at Aqueduct, 5-4-1-3. And finally, in the ninth and final at Aqueduct, State Bred Maiden Claimers going 6.5. I have it 9, 10, 5, and 12. I'll put Patrick the Great on top. First off, the claim for Linda Rice. It's one of those, though, that makes you wonder just a little bit because they claimed the horse in the middle of the Saratoga meet. And I always think, you know, you don't claim in the middle of Saratoga and think, hey, let's come back in the middle of December. So you have to wonder if there was a little bit of an issue there. But does show, you know, claimed in the middle of September, does show a late September work up at Saratoga, but then a late November work. So it does seem like there was some kind of issue. Now, subsequently, three works showing up, Linda Rice doing very well right now. So I'll use this one on top, but again, a little bit of trepidation there. 8 and Sand goes out for 10 Strike Racing, Michelle Giangiulio, moving into her barn, had been trained by Brittany Russell. But again, these are clever connections. I talk about it all the time. Marshall Graham and 10 Strike Racing, they tend to do very well, spot their horses cleverly, and ran a pretty good race against similar company last time. Third spot, Chief Engineer. Chief Engineer finished that much ahead of 8 and Sand last time. I'm looking for the switch up today. I say it all the time. Sometimes as handicappers, we get clever. We look at a race and two horses run 1-2 or 2-3 or whatever in a race, and we think, yeah, they're gonna. Well, I'm gonna switch them up today, and they next time out they run just the same. And there was one like that earlier this week where I thought, yeah, I'm gonna switch them up, and nah, they came back and ran just what they did last time. So we'll see if 8 and Sand can get past Chief Engineer. I just thought 8 and Sand being a little more lightly raced, maybe the direction to go to finish in front of Chief Engineer underneath. This afternoon, but again, we'll see. In the ninth at Aqueduct, 9, 10, 5, and 12. All of which takes us to another break, so we'll take that break, come back, and again, hit on a little bit of a news and notes segment on the return, so stay tuned for more Racing Across America.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Birdstone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
In front, but here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Papa. These two arch rivals head to head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
Having trouble finding us? It's actually quite simple. Whether online or on your TV, it's never been easier to watch and wager on championship horse racing with Capital OTB. Simply log on to CapitalOTBBet.com. There you can watch our morning shows, live stream races, and wager on our state-of-the-art wagering platform. You can also watch from the comfort of your home on Spectrum Cable Channel 1250 or Fios Channel 467. And win more with Capital OTB.
Welcome back. Wanted to get back to race 8 at Aqueduct today because there's another horse that I didn't use in my mix, and I may kick myself because of that, but a fun horse to kind of keep our eyes on today. And again, I talked a little bit about that transition from Finger Lakes to the Naira circuit. And in that eighth race, again, I'm going to use today's flavor on top, the Redham horse, but I had the Institute right underneath a Finger Lakes Invader moving into the Linda Rice barn, coming out of a couple of wins up at the Finger Lakes. But there was a nice article in the racing forum from Dave Grenig talking about another Finger Lakes Invader in here. And as I say, I may kick myself that I didn't use Warrior's Revenge. I looked at Warrior's Revenge, put the horse in the mix originally, and then shifted around and just missed making my thoughts in here. But you're going to want to pay attention in the eighth race today to number six, Warrior's Revenge. Why? 7-for-7 this year up at the Finger Lakes. And the trainer said in this article, not quite sure. I would say he's at the top of his game right now. No kidding, 7-for-7. Top of his game right now. How he transitions down to, how that transitions down to Aqueduct, we're unsure. So, yeah, it's just it's a fun story with the 7-for-7 runner who you look down the page and you see optional claimers and allowance races at the Finger Lakes. But the Grenig article talks about in June of 2021, so essentially must have just been just before the races that make the page. In June of 2021, he was claimed for $7,500 after racing six straight times for $5,000. So far this year, with the seven wins, $88,000 for a horse they picked up for $7,500 and was available for $5,000. Jonathan Buckley trains. The article said Buckley doesn't leave the Finger Lakes region, so Warrior's Revenge will start for Mark Hennig, one of a couple of trainers on the Naira circuit that the owners use. So again, you'll see that trainer change in the PPs. But comes off the 7-for-7, and then it goes on to talk about one of the trainers, Kip O'Neill, talks about Warrior's Revenge nearly lost an eye in the summer of 2021. But between trainer Buckley and the veterinarians, they were able to save the eye. So a horse that you could have had for $5,000, they did get for $7,500, nearly lost an eye. This year goes 7-for-7 up at the Finger Lakes, $88,000. He'll be in that eighth race today at Aqueduct, Warrior's Revenge. And again, I'm just going to, you know, I had him in the mix, had him out of the mix, eventually just missed. But one of those that you're rooting for, whether you play him or not, he'll be fun to watch, and we'll see what he does this afternoon. With Navarro coming in from the Finger Lakes to ride him, so the Finger Lakes rider coming down to New York to jump on board the five-year-old Warrior's Revenge. And again, just fun story, and I talking with Ren Carruthers yesterday, she said she likes the stories, and I said, I'm right with you. I like the stories, too. They add a little zest to the game. You know, you want to cash bets, that's what it's all about, but some of the stories are fun as well. Plus, a good story, the rebound, and folks have talked about it all year long, Javier Castellano, and Dave Grenig has a little article about Castellano, who entered the meet as the leading rider, entered the week as the leading rider and wins at the Aqueduct Fall Meet, and he's going to ride here for one more week before heading down to Gulfstream for the winter. That said, he's in Venezuela this weekend, as are some other riders. So if you're looking in the PPs and you don't see Irad Ortiz, Jose Ortiz, Paco Lopez, or Emisael Jaramillo, they're down at that Clásico del Caribe, which has been at Gulfstream in previous years, but they're running it down in Venezuela this weekend. So some of the American riders of Hispanic descent are down riding there. But then Castellano will return. So he entered the week as the leading rider at Aqueduct, but Kendrick Carmouche passed him. We'll see how the final week for Castellano works out before he heads out of town. But again, it's notable that he was vying for a meet leader, given, as I say, folks talking all year long about his resurgence as a rider. He's just had a really, really good year in 2022. Javier Castellano back at it at the highest level. Also, part of that Grenig article, jockey Katie Davis now being represented by friend Joe Migliori. Migliori was the agent for, and still is, for Trevor McCarthy, but Trevor McCarthy on the sidelines with the broken collarbone. Trevor is Katie's husband, and so just kind of logically, Joe Migliori picks up the book for Katie Davis, who is back riding after spending some time being a mom and got the win the other day, and that was fun to see. Also noted in the article, Migliori is the agent for Matty Ulver, who I had the video and the photo yesterday from her win on Friday to get her the first win of her career. She came close to getting another one yesterday. She's going to be interesting to watch over the wintertime because she seems to be riding very well as an apprentice with relatively few rides at this point. She has gotten some long shots up in the mix. And then on Friday, she had the lead late with a long shot and just got caught. And then the very next race got the first win of her career. And if you didn't see it yesterday, you can find it out on Twitter. Got the traditional greeting from the other jockeys as she came back, you know, the buckets of water and the powder and whatnot. And as I said, they stepped it up and had somebody had a hose, and they were getting her with a hose as well. But it was also fun to see her come back to the winner's circle on Friday. It was a Tom Morley trained horse, and he was walking her in, and they were both smiling, and she just couldn't get the smile off her face, and understandably so, to get the first win of the career. But Joe Migliori has the book of Matty Ulver, and as they say, she'll be fun to watch this winter, I think, down at Aqueduct. All right, and before we go, I said yesterday those Hong Kong international races were last night, and, you know, wasn't quite as necessarily intriguing as some previous years where we've had maybe more familiar runners. Now, these were good runners, and on the Hong Kong scene, there were some nice horses, certainly, that were, you know, popular and historic maybe, but not the kind of runners that might normally draw some of the international attention. But it was still a nice day of racing, and internationally, this is one of the big days of the year, the Hong Kong international races. And last night in the Hong Kong Vaz, it was number 9, Win Maryland, getting it done. I say number 9. I didn't pull up the replays because it was the middle of the night last night, so the guys weren't going to get a chance to do that. But jockey and the trainer, their first win in the series, Win Maryland, got it done. And I did pull up, I believe, I had prices somewhere. And the prices were fairly logical all the way around. Win Maryland, $13 to win. So, you know, a little bit of a price there to kick things off last night in that Hong Kong Vaz with Win Maryland getting it done. Subsequently in the Hong Kong Sprint, it was Wellington. Wellington had come into the race with 4 wins and 6 starts this year, had been beaten as the favorite in the prior race, but rebounded nicely last night to get it done at $8.30. So again, Ryan Moore on board there. But again, I'm looking at the local odds over in Hong Kong. Would have been the second choice. Yeah, so again, not a shock, but you wound up with $8 there in the sprint. Subsequent to that, and I'm just looking, missing one of my pages there, but I will note that in the Hong Kong mile, it was California Spangle. California Spangle was the second choice. Golden 60 in here, and as I say, there were horses in there that are special horses, and Golden 60 was going for the third win in this race. That's pretty good. Seven-year-old Golden 60 obviously attracted favoritism, but and wound up second, but California Spangles, who was the second choice, got it done. California Spangles had been beaten by Golden 60, I think, in the last two or three starts, if I remember the follow-up articles I was reading last night, but got the upset last night in the Hong Kong mile. Golden 60 running second. And again, over there, Golden 60, a very special horse. Oh, there we go. Yeah, there are the PPs. So Golden 60. Golden 60 had come in eight wins and nine starts on the lifetime record we're looking at here. And these lifetime records are we're looking at most recent races, really. This year, the 2022 record, 3-4. California Spangle in the exacta, 8-8 this year. And as I said, in the prior race back on November 20th, Golden 60 had beaten California Spangle. And some of the preview articles were kind of noting California Spangle has a chance, but it's probably Golden 60. But Golden 60 upset last night in Hong Kong in the mile. The big race of the evening was the Hong Kong Cup. And, I should say California Spangle. I don't think I noted $6.40 there as the second choice. But in the Hong Kong Cup, Romantic Warrior was the horse to beat. Went off as the short price and got it done. Was the short price and got it done at the short price, $3.70. Once again, the big race of the evening, Order of Australia was in there. I mean, there's one that is a little bit of a familiar name, having come out of the finish behind Modern Games in the Breeders' Cup. So, again, there were maybe a couple of familiar names on the card, not necessarily, you know, American-based runners, but horses that we have seen before. Order of Australia, not much of a performance, running 11th in the field of 12, but it was Romantic Warrior getting it done, again, as a short price last night. Hong Kong International Racing overnight. If you're a late-night person, that gave you the opportunity to kind of enjoy a little action with the majority of the action up in Hong Kong after midnight last night at Sha Tin. All right, we'll wrap it up for this edition of Racing Across America. Appreciate your tuning in, as always. As noted, about an hour away from things kicking off at Saratoga Harness. I'll take a look at that today, 12:10 for Gulfstream. I'll have that in my mix as well. About 12:20, we'll kick things off down in New York at Aqueduct, and I'll look at that action as well. All of that coming up, as I say, in about an hour or so, where I'll fire things up for OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. But we wrap it up on a Sunday morning, Racing Across America. As always, appreciate your tuning in, and look forward to seeing you a little bit later on OTB Live. Lots of great action this afternoon. I didn't mention 1:30. Oaklawn kicks back off. Love the Oaklawn meet. It's been fun so far. Don't forget, Pick six carryover today in New York. If you're a pick six player, $38,000 up for grabs. And also don't forget, if you're a football fan and you want to watch some NFL action, come on down. Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Every Sunday throughout the NFL season, we feature all the games and all the racing action right here. You can come down, grab some lunch at the restaurant, watch some football action, play the horses. Always a lot of fun. Sundays, Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Otherwise, I'll wrap it up for Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. Seth Merrow in the studio. Once again, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you in a few for OTB Live.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off Track Betting.